What's up, everybody? It's your boy Tony K. Cole, the host of the Rise Up podcast. I hope you guys are having a great day. We are on season number 2. Can you believe that, people? Season number 2, and this is the very first episode. I know it's been almost like forever. I don't know what else to say, to be honest, but I had to give you guys a little bit of a break just to give a lot of the new audience some time to catch up with the first season episodes. If you guys have not had a chance to listen to the first season, please go ahead. That very first season was all about entrepreneurship. I shared some of my story concerning, you know, my ups, my downs, my challenges, my success, my discoveries, everything that had to do with my entrepreneurial life. And so I put everything that I learned in that first season. And I can't really say everything, but a good measure, a good amount of what I learned is in episode 1 through, I want to say 1 through 9. 1 through 9. And then I had a guest on my show, my dear friend, my brother, Lamont Page of Divisive Podcast. It was a pleasure having him, you know, on set and everything. And I was also on his show for a couple of episodes, which is the City Girls. City Girls or Nah. That was basically that episode where we collaborated and everything. Listen, I don't want to be too long with you guys. This is season number 2. As always, like I always express to you guys, it's always a pleasure be able to deliver content on this podcast. I shared with you guys in season 1 that this was something that I always wanted to do. I just didn't know how to go about it. My biggest thing was, what would I actually talk about? And one thing about me, people, I'm all about sharing my life. I'm all about taking what I have been through and giving some type of perspective to help other people. That's just what I believe in. And so I thought about season 2 for a very long time, for about a month. It's been about a month since I've actually recorded anything as far as podcast content, which was on purpose. I don't want you guys to think that I just forgot about doing podcasts or that I gave up. Quitting is not an option, okay? That is a main theme that you will always hear from me when it comes to quitting. We don't quit. And so I took some time to think about, what could I possibly talk about in season number 2? Season 1, we talked about entrepreneurship. And so I wanted to know through you guys, what should I talk about? Some people responded to my question, other people didn't. Perfectly fine. But because I didn't get as much of a response as I was hoping to get, I had to take some time and I had to think. I was wrestling with the idea of religion, and I was wrestling with the idea of relationships. The reason why is because, just like in season 1, I wanted to deal with those things that are hot topics in people's lives today, especially amongst this pandemic and certain things that's been happening, you know, in my life. And once again, taking from my story and just giving you guys perspective. And so religion is a big part of my life. Religion is a big topic of discussion on my social media. Religion is a big topic of discussion just when I gather myself with other people. It becomes a topic. I don't know, I think I have this big old word that says religious discussion over my head. You know, if somebody ever wanted to have a discussion or a debate on argument or disagreement, whatever you want to call it, when it comes to religion, they always seem to find me. And so religion, and then dealing with that of relationships all throughout my life, since the time that I have been a teenager, I would always find myself in conversations where people need advice when it comes to relationships. I've had failed relationships. I had what were called successful relationships, if that's what you want to call them. I don't have them today, so I guess those failed too. So I just have this idea that, you know, both of these topics need to be brought up. And so I just combined the two. So season two, we are going to be dealing with both religion and relationships. Okay, we're going to be dealing with religion and we're going to be dealing with relationship. Now, I really just want you guys to understand that I can only come from a certain standpoint when it comes to religion. And as you guys already know, if you've listened to the very first episode of season one, then you guys understand that even though I was brought up in a Christian home, throughout my time of reading scripture and also going through the experiences of Christianity and that dealing with the church lifestyle, there's just some things that I find to be a little bit disappointing. There's some things that I find to be inconsistent. There's some things that I find to be false. Now, those things that I see that are inconsistent and the things that I see that are false has nothing to do with scripture, because scripture is infallible. I just believe that it's infallible. And if you do your homework and you do your research, you'll see just how infallible it is. So much to the point that if the only books that you're reading are the 66 books of the Bible or of the Holy Scriptures, then you have, in a sense, only been given a certain point of view or a certain understanding when it came to certain principles or certain ideas concerning salvation, concerning forgiveness, concerning humanity. And so, because I'm a person that likes to do a lot of research, I'm a person that likes to take my faith and discover the fullness of what I believe. I made it my decision to move outside of just those 66 books and start to rediscover the text that they took outside of the original Holy Scriptures. Okay. Now, like I said, I was brought up in a Christian home, and so I can talk a lot about Christianity, but at the same time, I don't take on the title Christian. The reason why I don't take on the title Christian is because in scripture, you don't see that name. Some people will say, yes, you do. You see it in the New Testament. But what you will come to find out during this season is that that word Christian was never there. According to the original Hebrew text, that word Christian was never there. So therefore, if it was never there, that means that it never existed. Okay? It never existed. And as far as categorization was concerned. Okay? But we do see the word disciple. Okay? We do see the word disciple. Even our Lord, our King, the Christ, he never referred to his people as Christians. He referred to them as disciples, okay? Students, learners of the Hamashiach or the Messiah, the Anointed One, okay? And so with that understanding, I have to lay that foundation so that you guys will understand that even though I was brought up in a Christian home, I am not coming from a so-called Christian perspective when I'm dealing with that of religion. Okay, I'm going to be talking about my experiences dealing with the Christian church. I will be dealing with that of faith. What is faith? You know, how do you navigate when it comes to faith? I also understand that there are those who don't believe the very same things that I believe. That's perfectly fine. But if you just so happen to be that group that listens and you actually identify with what I'm talking about, then I know for a fact that what I'm sharing with you will be very beneficial. If you are that category of people who don't believe what I believe, who are not subscribing to the same ways of thinking and believing, that's fine. Hopefully what I'm sharing with you at least give you food for thought and kind of put some, you know, jewels within your knowledge, you know, when it comes to certain things. But I want you guys to understand that I do not subscribe to the madness. I just want to leave it, okay? Now, when it comes to relationship, I have a lot that I can talk about when it comes to relationships, from the standpoint of marriage, the standpoint of divorce, when it comes to marriage again, when it comes to fatherhood, when it comes to the whole courting idea, when it comes to the dating aspect, when it comes to the, you know, getting yourself ready to shoot your shot, you know, all these different components of relationship. And then how does religion and relationship play a part in your everyday life? And can the two coexist? And if so, how can the two coexist effectively and successfully? There's a scripture that says that the two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Okay? What that scripture basically means is, unless there's an agreement, two people cannot coexist. They cannot cohabitate. They cannot function together. They can't walk hand in hand. Literally, the holding of the hands could never happen. The two cannot walk together except there is an agreement. There has to be some understanding for there to even be an agreement. Then there's another scripture that tells us that you should not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Okay, so now what does that mean? Well, for some people, especially those who are part of the Christian faith, it means just that. If they do not believe what you believe, then you should not be yoked with them. Okay? If you're a Muslim and the person that you're talking to does not believe, they're not trying to understand, they're not trying to get an understanding, they're not wanting to submit themselves to your religious practices and that of your faith, then how can the two walk together? Okay? Now, we have to understand that when you're dealing with that of religion, and I'm not even fully going into episode one as of yet, fully. Actually, episode two would be considered episode one of this new season. This right here is like I did in season one. It's just, let's talk before we start breaking bread. Okay? Let's just talk. And so this is Let's Talk Part 2 for season number 2, okay? Now, so the two cannot walk together except they be agreed, and you should not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, okay? Now, if a person does not believe what you believe, then how can you walk with them? How can you cohabitate? How can you function in a relationship? Do you know what type of relationship you're going to have? You're going to have an argumentative relationship. You're going to have an unsubmissive relationship, okay? You're going to have a very disappointing relationship. And 9 times out of 10, it's not going to succeed. It's going to end up in a breakup, possibly a messy one, a dramatic one. Come on, we don't need drama, right? The year 2020, and as the Most High would grace us with the year 2021, we definitely do not need drama. We don't need drama anymore, people. Especially not relationship drama. By now, we should know who works for us and who doesn't. What type of person, you know, rocks our boat and what type of person doesn't. at this very moment in our life, especially us as some grown folk, okay, from the ages of, I want to say, 28 all the way up to the very mature age, by now you guys should already know. And if you're 20, 19, 18, if you're listening, you know, you're going to have to figure some things out. Okay? You may have to figure some things out, but I hope and I pray that you figure it out early. But from those who are 20 all the way on up, as you've been going through this whole dating game, this whole in and out of relationships, talking to people for months on end, and then only come to find out they just wanted the drawers, or they just wanted whatever, you know, a place to sleep, you know, they wanted you because they figured that you could buy them the PS5 or Xbox or whatever. You let them drive your car, you know, stupid things like that, the materialistic things that they couldn't get on their own, okay? Because there's a lot of people, male and female, that's like that, okay? So let's just keep it real. After a while, you come to realize that those are not your people. That's not what you're looking for. You're looking for someone that's going to be in it to win it. Somebody that's going to lock in and lock down, be committed no matter what. The ups and the downs, they're going to come, okay? So just because you believe and just because you guys agree don't mean that everything is going to be peachy. Doesn't mean everything is going to be good. You're going to have some off days, okay? But let's really deal with this issue that you cannot be yoked with a person who does not believe what you believe. It's impossible, people. Now, I know we've been told opposites attract, okay? But show it to me. Show me where you can take a person who is, let's say, a Christian, and a person who is, let's say, a Buddhist, or a Christian and a Muslim, or a Christian. You see, I'm keep on going there with Christian, right? I have reasons why. Christian and a Hebrew Israelite. The two, okay? Now, let's talk about that, because I have my thoughts on all of that. The Christian and the Hebrew Israelite, okay? Technically, we believe the same thing, but at the same time, there are some things we don't agree upon. We do believe in the Christ. We believe in the same Christ. We believe that he is the author of our salvation. We do believe that he is the Son of the Most High God, or the Most High Yah. We believe that he is the Anointed One of Israel. We believe that. However, there are some principal things that the Christian and the Hebrew Israelite does not agree upon. Okay? For instance, the Christian doesn't believe that you have to keep the law. Hebrew Israelite would express with a passion that we must keep the law. Now, in that household, there's going to be some friction, because while you have one who is taking on the fullness of the scriptures, you have a person that's only taking on a certain measure of the scriptures, okay? And there's some displacement of truth. You think that relationship is going to work? Can you imagine what that household looks like? Can you imagine? Same thing. You have the Christian, you have the Muslim. You have one who reads the Holy Quran, and you have one who reads what's known as the Holy Bible. Okay? You have one who speaks about you can eat whatever you want to eat. You have those who say you're not supposed to eat pork. Okay? So can you imagine what dinner is going to be like in that household? You literally will have to cook two separate meals, even for that of the Hebrew Israelite. There are things that there's no way that it can be touched, because it goes against the law. So can you imagine what dinner would be like? Can you imagine, especially when it comes to that of holidays, because they are what's known as pagan holidays that Muslims don't celebrate, Hebrew Israelites don't celebrate, but Christians celebrate. So can you imagine what it's like on these holidays? There are holy days that Muslims celebrate, that Hebrew Israelites celebrate, that, you know, those who practice Judaism celebrate. There's holy days or certain festivals and all of that that Buddhists celebrate that Christians don't celebrate. And they don't care to understand why. You know, that's always been one of my biggest things with the Christian churches. A lot of times they don't care to understand. They don't care to know. They don't care to do their research. It's just what the Bible says, and that's it. And either you bow down or you hit the road, Jack. And I'm not trying to come strong against Christian faith, because I truly believe that, and I've said this to a couple of people, I believe that Christianity is a gateway religion. I believe that it is one of the most it's the best way I could put it is, I believe that Christianity, because it comes from the scriptures as far as doctrine is concerned, I believe that, and I say that still understanding a lot of information, okay, but hear what I'm saying. I believe that because it comes from a place dealing from out of the scriptures, it has enough foundational things to help you navigate and ultimately come into the fullness of truth if you are truly dedicated to a life of study and a place of fully wanting to lock into researching and, you know, really present yourself as a student of the scrolls. And so I believe that it's a very strong gateway religion. There are some Christian denominations that are far off, okay? And they're so far off from the truth that only Christ himself can be the light that draws them into full understanding and into truth. And so I just feel as though that when it comes to religion, when it comes to relationship, we have to understand those two principles. The two cannot walk together except they be agreed, and you cannot be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Let's look what that says in scripture just for a moment, because you have some that say, oh, show it to me, okay? Show it to me, because I don't think that's what it says. I don't think it matters who we date, as long as, or who we're married to, as long as we can show them the way. As long as I can show them Christ, and as long as I can, you know, that's just it's a way of me being able to evangelize and to preach this gospel. Well, you know, there's people that believe stuff like that. But let me ask you this question. If the person don't even want to hear half of what you're saying, how you gonna win them? How can you win somebody that don't want to hear your so-called religious chatter? Okay? Your best bet, leave them alone. Now, watch what scripture says. It says in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Okay? Starting at verse 14, it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Now, what is lawlessness? What is righteousness? What is lawlessness? What is righteousness? Well, you have some that say righteousness is no sin. Lawlessness is sinfulness. Okay. Let's go on. And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Okay. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Now I want you to look at that just for a minute. Let's break this down. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Those who do not believe, okay? Number one, in this text, would be those who do not believe in the gospel of the kingdom, or those that don't believe in Christ. We take that scripture and apply a certain principle that if a person does not believe what I believe, then I cannot be yoked, okay? Because there'll be a frustration in my movement when it comes to religion, when it comes to that of my faith, when it comes to the practices of my religious beliefs. Now watch this. For what fellowship, or what gathering, what type of agreement, what coming together has righteousness with lawlessness? Now I want you to understand that this right here is where a lot of Christians get it mixed up, because they feel as though that the fact that lawlessness is just sin, but they don't have a basis of understanding when it comes to that. And this has always been my issue dealing with church folk. I'll just leave it that way. That word lawlessness, let's look at the root words. Law, okay? And then the other part of that word is lessness. Okay, so law, less, ness. Let's look at what that means. That means that you are void of the law, okay? And you are absent in behavior when it comes to that of the law. What law? What law? Well, we have been given the law in the Old Testament, that of the commandments. Of course, you have some who would disagree, Christian, non-Christian alike, would say we don't have to keep the commandments. That's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. That's Old Covenant. Not even understanding that when the scripts were written, there was no division of the books. It was just one whole big text, right? There was no chapters. There were no verses. It was written, and as it was written, so it was. Okay? This is why when you understand certain things, it takes all of this separation away. Separation such as we don't have to keep the law because we're under grace, and they'll say that that's what we are supposed to follow. We're supposed to understand that, you know, grace abolished the law, but Christ never taught that. In fact, in Matthew, the fifth chapter, verse 17, Christ, the Hamashiach, the Son of the Most High, says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or abolish the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And this is where a lot of people, you know, I've had conversations with people who, you know, have a little church background that believe the same thing. Christ came and he fulfilled the law. We don't have to keep the law. Not understanding what that word fulfill means. Now, Christ was proven as excellent when it came to the law. Why? Because he fulfilled the law, meaning that he executed the law to a T. Even though the Pharisees, as we read, always came against him, always tried to find a way to try to manipulate and try to catch him in a trap when it came to that of the law. However, Christ would always reference back to the law, and they failed to realize that he was the lawgiver. Okay? Now, I want you to understand that when he said that he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill, that word fulfill does not mean that he came to abolish or that he came to do away with. He came to fulfill the law, meaning he came to, number one, work out that law, to execute that law. A funny definition, or not really funny, but a very impactful definition is that he came to make it a realization. Okay? He came to bring into reality the law. Okay? He came as a way to reveal unto us the law, the standards, the desires, the promises of the Most High. That's why the law was given. The law was given so that we can actually know the standards of the Most High. So let's look at this scripture a little bit more. That word fulfill a lot of times catches people in a loop, and they don't know what to do. And the reason why I have to talk about this law is because it has a lot to do with religion, and it has a lot to do with relationships. So let's talk about this for just a moment. It says that there are also associated with the word fulfill so many different definitions. Okay, so I'm reading some of my notes. So let's make clarity of this word so that we can understand what the Christ said. Okay, and this is truly for, you know, those that I have a close connection to that are part of the Christian faith. Even though I've pulled myself out of that religious structure to enter more into a more godly and truthful understanding of the scriptures and that dealing with the Christ. And so hopefully this helps those who are part of that faith or belief. Okay, but let's look at this word fulfill, because if Christ did not come to destroy but to fulfill the law, then we need to understand what it means that he came to fulfill. So some words that actually that's associated with the word fulfill is that of satisfying, realizing, delivering, and carrying out. Okay, and so let's put this verse, let's read the original verse, and it says, think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So let's fill in that part with a definition. Okay, the definition is that to bring into reality or completion. Fulfill means to achieve or realize something promised, desired, or predicted. To fulfill means to carry out a task, a duty, or role as required, pledged, or expected. So let's fill in that verse, that latter part of the verse, with what the word fulfill actually means. So Christ would necessarily be saying, I did not come to destroy the law, but to bring into reality the law. I did not come to destroy the law, but to complete the law. I did not come to destroy the law, but to achieve the law. I did not come to destroy the law, but help you realize the law. I did not come to destroy the law, but help you realize what has been promised, desired, and predicted. Okay? Now, for me, I don't know what that does for anybody else, but for me, that actually changes the whole understanding of this scripture. Now, for some people, they'll say, well, it does say that he came to complete the law, but what law did he come to complete? Well, if we understand the true ministry of the Christ, we understand why he came. Why did he come? He came for that of salvation. Okay? He came for the lost house of Israel. He came so that the promised seed would be able to inherit eternal life because of the sins that was running so rampant. Okay? There was so much sin on the earth, and the sacrifices of bulls and goats, as much as the Most High was requiring that to be the case, people were making sacrifices and still sinning because they were unable to keep the fullness of the law. Okay? That's just in their nature because of Adam. Okay? So now understand this. He came to become the sacrificial lamb of the Most High God. So the law that he actually fulfilled was the law of sacrifice. We're going to go fully into a lot of this as the episodes increase. But like I said, we're just laying foundation and we are just having general conversation at this moment. When I do my general conversation, I like to go over major topics or major points so that you can get an understanding of what this season is going to be about. And so Christ once again says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth passes away, not one jot or one tittle shall in any wise pass from the law." That means there's not one part of the law that's going to be removed until all be fulfilled. "Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men to do so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So if you teach and you also do the commandments, if you teach others to keep the commandments and you also do the commandments, then you will be great in the kingdom of heaven. And it says, Christ says, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees," the writers of the laws, the observers of the laws, okay, the teachers of the laws, he says, "unless your righteousness exceeds their righteousness, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 6, and it says in verse 14, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness?" What fellowship does a person who executes the law, okay, who lives according to the laws of the Most High, what fellowship do they have with those who do not keep the laws of the Most High? Do you not know that there's a principle in the earth that they say birds of the same feather flock together, right? Or you've been cut from the same cloth, or you've been cut from a different cloth. There's a saying that, you know, if you want to see what type of manner of person you are, look at the people that you're around. And so let's look at this for a second. If a person is a follower of the Most High, and I, like I said, I can only come from a certain perspective. That's why I give y'all this disclosure. I give you the disclaimer that when I'm dealing with that of religion, I can't come from this universal point. I can only come from the convictions that's within me. So if you are of another religion, you know, that's outside of the actual biblical references that I will be making, okay, then you're gonna have to take what I'm saying, and you could possibly, you know, put it towards your religion if that's the case. Because at the same time, I'm coming from a principled place, but understanding that this is really dealing with a chosen place. And I'm not trying to throw any shade there, but I'm just giving you an understanding. Okay? Now, so, and let me help you understand what this means. What that means is, to those who believe in the gospel of the kingdom, who believe in the gospel of Christ. Okay, that's what this scripture that I'm talking about here, you know, so you can get an understanding. That's why I'm bringing this up. This is for those, because I know a good amount of my listeners are possibly Christians, okay, or call themselves Christians, okay. Some may also be of Hebrew Israelite belief. Some may be Muslim. Some may be whatever else. But I know a good amount of my listeners are considered Christian believers. Okay? So, with that being the case, if you can judge a person by who they are around, if birds of the same feather flock together, if you can be cut from the same cloth or from a different cloth, let's understand what this means when it comes to lawlessness and righteousness. There can be no fellowship, okay? Can you imagine you being the one that's keeping the laws of the Most High and you're in a relationship with a person who can care less about keeping the laws of the Most High? What type of damage that is to your soul? What type of damage that is to your reputation? What type of damage that can bring to your character and your integrity? Just think about that. Just think about that for a moment, okay? Now, I want you to understand that there are two types of Christians as well, the same way that there are two type of believers. Let's just put it this way. There's two type of believers. You have the believer who is still sensual, and the fact that they do everything according to how they feel, right? They don't live according to the law. They don't live according to the scriptures. And then you have some who are believers of the spirit of the Most High, the spirit of the law, the spirit of Christ, okay? And everything that they do is weighed heavy on the scriptures. A person who's living a very sensual life, though they have the title of believer or Christian or whatever you want to call yourself, okay? Because let's understand, you have Pentecostal believers, you have Baptist believers, you have Hebrew Israelite believers, you have Kojic believers, you have full gospel believers, you have Lutheran believers, you have Anglican believers, you have, did I say Lutheran, you have Trinitarian, you have Episcopalian, you have Methodist, okay? Like, the list goes on. Like, there's over probably like 40,000 different number, let's put it this way, 40,000 different denominations, okay? And so you got to think about that. So, and each denomination has a certain belief. It's crazy, but it's real. And so imagine that out of those different divisions of believers, okay, each one has a certain belief and understanding when it comes to the scriptures. Ultimately, you know, they made an acronym for the Bible. What is it? Basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay? Basic instructions before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E. Okay? Now, if what we're reading are instructions, and you have a person who don't read the instructions, can you imagine how faulty their life will be? How faulty their thinking is? Okay? Is it possible to live by the book to a T? Some would say no. Some would say yes. I truly believe that you're able to do what you allow yourself to do. So if you allow yourself to match up to the T, I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, but if perfection becomes your goal, as it should be, okay, as it should be, then I believe that you'll align yourself to accomplish that goal. We talked about this in season one with entrepreneurship, right? That if you create a momentum and you keep it, then you accomplish your goals. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to the spiritual life, when it comes to that of your, when it comes to that of, I don't want to say the word religion, but let's keep it within context, religion. And when it comes to that of your relationship, whatever you set as a goal, you'll align yourself to it to see that it's accomplished. So it's the same thing. But if you're in a relationship with a person who does not care about that, what's going to happen? 9 times out of 10, you may end up falling off with them, okay? Especially if you're the type that wants to please, okay? We're going to talk about that in relationships, about, you know, the difference between a pleaser, you know, and a person that's needy, a person that wants to dominate, a person that wants to submit. We're going to be talking about different parts of relationships because there's different types of people, right? And how does this play out with, how do the two work together? It's a very interesting chemistry between religion and relationships, and it reveals who you're with. It reveals a lot. I can't wait to get into those discussions. This is going to be a very lit season. I'm trying to tell you right now, just the two topics alone makes this season worth listening to: religion and relationships. We'll also be talking about that when it comes to your entrepreneurial journey, how your religion or your religious beliefs can affect your entrepreneurship journey, how your relationships can affect that, or how your entrepreneurial journey can affect that of your relationships. Can those three work together, right? So we're going to be really digging into a lot. But let's go back to that point that I was making. So you have a person that's very sensual in their ways. They're very based on how they feel. If it feels good, you know, they're all with it. If it feels like it's not right, they not with it. But there's no actual conviction. There's no true foundation of scriptural understanding as a believer, though they call themselves a believer. Okay? Everyone believes in God for the most part, even if it's not your God. You have to understand that. There are those that say, I believe in God, but their God is the trees. Their God is the moon, the sun, the stars, the universe. Then there's some who their God is that statue that's in their living room. See, one thing about me, people, I'm going to keep it straight, 100. I'm not going to hold back no punches, and I'm not going to be offensive, but I'm going to tell things exactly as it is. And then for some, their God is indeed the Most High, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of the sons of men, the creator of the angels, the creator of that dog that's in your living room, that cat, that fish that's in your fish tank, okay? He is the creator of all things. Scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. Whether that's the sea and the dry lands, they belong to him in the sense of creation. Okay? Now, so here you are, the believer that wants to live by the book. So what does that mean? Where it talks about that of fornicating, you know, no sex before marriage. Some like to throw in the thing about shacking up. There's really no scripture. I know this is about to hurt somebody. I don't care. By this time, you probably already turned me off anyway. And if you didn't, you definitely probably going to turn me off now when I tell you that there's no scripture at all that talks about shacking up, okay? Playing house. I know a lot of people talk about this and they say that it's a sin, but show me in scripture, and I have yet to find in the New Testament especially, where you're not supposed to live with the person that you are potentially going to marry. Okay? Now, do I believe that it's a safe situation? No. I don't prefer it, okay? Because we have what's called urges, okay? Urges. Listen, our body gets flamed up in heat laying next to that individual. Before you know it, clothes are flying off, okay? And we are pre-consummating something that should only be consummated after a vow has been made, okay? Speaking that of marital vows. And but there's no scripture that tells you that you can't live with that individual, okay? So, and this is one of those things where you have people that throw stuff in scripture, say you can't do, but can't give you no biblical foundation, okay? But we do understand biblical principles. Now, let's understand that. So, but here you are, you want to live by the text where you don't want to fornicate. This person, they don't care. Listen, you my woman, you my man, and I want it now. What are you going to do? That's a good question, okay? Scripture tells you that you shouldn't be drunk with wine. They didn't say you can't drink wine. There go another thing that most Christians try to throw in the scriptures and say you can't drink. Well, that's not true, because scripture lets you know that you can drink, but you need to do it within season, and you must do it according to a certain moderacy. So, and it tells you not, if you're going to drink, you should not drink to the point of drunkenness. Drunkenness is a sin. Drinking is not a sin. So if you have an uncontrollable spirit, or ruach, that word Hebrew for ruach is spirit. If you have an uncontrollable ruach or spirit, then guess what? You should not drink, period. Why? Because you will drink yourself unto excess, which leads to drunkenness, and there's a sin. Why? Because there's a law against it. Okay? So, you believe that, you know, okay, I don't want to drink, or I only drink wine, or I only drink a little bit, but you have a person that's like, let's get lit, let's get toe up, right? Now here you are, you're drinking past the point that you can control, you become what? You become drunk. Now there's some parts of you that once died, in a sense, right? It was under management, and now it's starting to come out. Your looseness, right? Your anger, all these different things are starting to come out. So that just lets you know that person is toxic, okay? If the toxicity that's within you comes out to the point and it's just acceptable, that person you need to leave alone. They're not believing what you believe. They're not even allowing you to align yourself to what you believe. That person should not be in fellowship with you. Not in marriage, not in friendship, in no type of way. That's why the scripture says, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What's righteousness? Doing those things that you know are right, especially in Christ. Okay, because there's a such thing as self-righteousness, and then you have righteousness in the Christ. Okay, now then it says, and what communion? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14, and what communion has light with darkness? Okay, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, right? Remember that song? Well, if I have light, and Christ says that we are the light of the world, you know, that we should not put a container on our light, but we should let it shine. Well, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Eventually, what's going to happen is, because you're the light, you're going to expose a lot. And if people don't want to be exposed, and you know for a fact that you are a light carrier, then guess what? You shouldn't be with them, because they're going to be exposed. And 9 times out of 10, that's going to cause some conflict. The key word there is conflict, people. The opposite only attracts a conflict. Now, trust, it's impossible that you're going to find somebody that's just like you to the T. it doesn't matter. But if they hold principle, if they hold belief like you, a person like that, you can kind of navigate along the way with the truth. When it comes to your belief, when it comes to certain things, you can kind of like nudge them like, but have you considered this? And they'll have a mind and a heart to receive. Okay. Then it says, in what accord, what unison has Christ with Belial? Let's look at it just like this. Can Christ and Satan actually sit in the same room and be in agreement? Heck to the nah. Okay. Not at all. Not at all. Verse 15. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Going right back to that. What can you possibly do? If you're a believer, what can you do with an unbeliever? You get these radical folk. Oh, we can make them believers. Well, if I shine my light, then man, please. Do you not know, according to scripture, that it's more likable that the sinful ones will cause you to sin than your holiness or your righteousness will cause them to be holy and righteous? It's impossible. Even the Most High was dealing with the priests when it came to their garments on that same thing. Your white robes is not going to make something else white. But if you have meat that's running blood, your white robe would be spotted by the blood that's coming from that meat. But your white robe will not make clean that meat. So what does that mean? If you are parting with an unbeliever, if you're coming into relationship with an unbeliever, if you're coming into relationship with a person that does not believe what you believe in, all these different things, their influence, the things that they do, and you have people that sit there and say, no, that's not true. Let me tell you something. I done watched and I have received so many different reports in my inbox and just talking to people that they ended up fornicating because of the person that they was with. And before they was with that person, guess what? They was keeping their legs closed. They was keeping that thing tucked. You understand what I'm saying? But the moment the pressure was applied, next thing you know, everybody's humping around. Okay? Let's just keep it that way. Okay? Male and female. Don't sit here and try to give me that bull talking about, oh, that ain't true. I could keep. Yeah, I bet. I can even attest to the fact, okay? There's been a lot of things that unhappened. Me thinking that I can take on the weights of this world. No. There's some people that will ease that little Mickey into your spirit. Right? You know how you drop a Mickey in somebody's drink? Yeah, they'll drop that Mickey right in your spirit. Before you know it, you done lost spiritual consciousness. Okay? Come on, let's just keep it real. Now watch this. And it says, and what agreement has the temple of the Most High God with idols? Come on, bro. That's just like you going into the actual temple of the Most High. You're not going to see no idols that's, well, you shouldn't. I'm not going to say, but you should not have the idols of Luciferian worship or any other type of worship in the house of the Most High. Okay? Even in your own home. If your home is sacred and dedicated unto the Most High, you're not going to find idols or something that's used as an idol of worship to another deity. Okay? And on top of that, the synagogue of Satan and the temple of the Most High are two different setups. So there's no agreement. And then it says, for you are the temple of the living God. Okay? As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. What does that mean? Come out from amongst these people. You are my temple. You're my dwelling place. Okay? These people are people of idols. They want to worship what they want to worship, do what they want to do, break the laws of the Most High, not live according to the... Whether they call themselves a believer or not. Well, they said they go to church. That don't make them a believer. What makes them a believer is when they live by these scripts. Okay? And if they don't... If they try to flip the script, then that ain't it. All right? That's not who we're supposed to be with. Okay? And then watch this. I didn't say it, but says Adonai the Lord. And he says, do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Okay? He says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty. Okay? I want you to understand that. He says, I'll receive you. I'll receive you as a son and a daughter if you come out from amongst this wicked and heathenistic people, right? Stop trying to hide yourself amongst these wicked people. And we know for a fact that he's talking to the Israelites. We know for a fact who he's talking to. He's talking to those that will call themselves believers also. If you want to call yourself a believer, start living like a believer. Okay? And he put pressure. He said, come out from amongst them. If you call yourself a believer, so you know definitely he was talking to the Israelites. But if you want to call yourself a believer, then come out from amongst them and be separate. Okay? Come out from amongst those who are lawless and start keeping the law. Then I'll receive you. Come out from amongst those who worship idols and recognize that you are the temple of the Most High, and I'll accept you. Now watch this. I told you this season right here is about to be lit. I'm on a whole nother different time, guys. Especially when we start dealing with this whole thing about religion and relationships. As much as I can talk about entrepreneurship, I can definitely talk about that of religion and relationships. Okay? I've been through too much people. And, you know, in this episode, like I said, I just want to talk, lay down some foundations. This also gives you a feel. This gives you a feel of if you actually want to listen to this season. I hope you would want to listen to this season. I believe that there's going to be some breakthrough. I believe that there's going to be some things that that take place, healing that's going to take place, emotional healing, spiritual healing, mental healing, relational healing, you know, religious healing, whatever is needed. I believe that it's going to take place. I put that pressure on this podcast altogether, and definitely on this season of the Rise Up podcast. Now, I'm not having to come to a come to Jesus meeting, okay? I'm not having that. I'm not coming. I'm not having one of those come to the cross of Calvary, you know, type of setups. I'm just giving you information. What you do with the information, people, is up to you, okay? Now, chapter 7, because this is, remember before I said earlier that the scriptures, when they were written, there was no breakage of chapters. It was just, if it was a letter, it was one whole complete letter. And this is the second letter to the Corinthian church, or the church in Corinth, that the Apostle Paul is given, or that he had written. And so the continuation of that would actually, if this ended as verse 18, where it says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty, then the continuation of this would be verse 19, if you wanted to go verse by verse. But they put it as a chapter and a separate verse. But let's read it as the Apostle Paul had wrote it. So he says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God the Most High. Okay? So I want you to see that. He's saying, because you have these promises, what promise? The promise that the Most High will be a father unto you. The promise that he will be your God, you will be his people. The promise that you will be sons and daughters unto him. Being that you have those promises, he says that you need to cleanse yourself, or purify yourself, from all filthiness. A part of being filthy is being in connection with those who are lawless. Those who don't practice what you practice, who don't preach what you preach, who don't teach what you teach, who don't live what you live. That's filthiness. It's uncleanness. Okay? Your atmosphere is dirty. Okay? And so all you can do is cleanse your atmosphere. And a lot of times the reason why we're not able to get the benefits of our faith and the reason why we're not able to get what we're looking for in relationships is because our atmosphere is dirty based on who we have allowed to be within our space. I just want to leave it right there because I know this is going to get kind of heavy and I don't want to give it too heavy right now. I want to kind of like even this out a little bit. You guys, listen, this is season two. As like I said before, it's going to be really lit. It's going to be very extensive. We're going to be dealing with some major issues. We'll be dealing with divorce. I know that there's some people that may have been married 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. You know, or if you're in that moment right now where you're facing divorce or contemplating divorce, some things that you need to consider, some things you need to understand. Those who are single parents, both male and female, mothers and fathers. We're going to be talking about stuff like that, okay? We're going to be dealing with that of, you know, branching out into a new relationship after you've suffered a loss of a relationship that you thought was meant to last forever, you know? Then we're going to be talking about it just like this. If you like it, you should put a ring on it. There you go. Bing, boom, pow. Okay. If you like it, if you love her, put a ring on it. Okay. That's going to show that you mean business. We're going to be talking about a lot of different things. We're going to be talking about the Tatianas of the world. Are they really credible? Are they worthy enough of relationship and marriage? Okay. Then we're going to be talking about the Uncle Luke's, the Two Shorts, the Slick Ricks of the world. Are they worthy enough, credible enough for a committed relationship and marriage? We'll be talking about certain things like this in this episode. I can't promise you how long these episodes may be or how short they may be. I can't promise you how many episodes there are going to be, but I'm telling you right now, it's going to be very extensive. I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. I know I have. I'm not going to lie. I know it got very heavy towards the middle. You guys, I need to let you guys understand, a lot of times when I do my podcast, you know, I'm actually giving it to you straight off the cuff. I'm not writing nothing down. For the most part, like if I do have notes for certain things, it's just as a reference for me so I don't forget certain things. But a lot of times these podcasts I'm giving to you straight out of my heart. I'm not sitting there scripting nothing. I believe in keeping it real. You know, some people, they may think, oh, if you write it down, it gives you clear-cut thought. I'm a person that I love to just engage organically. Right, when you script things, a lot of times you're kind of just script stricken, right? And you can't move outside of that a lot of times because you feel as though you're pushing the envelope just a little bit. Me, I don't care about that. I want to give it to you guys like we're having a conversation on the street, like we're having a conversation at McDonald's, we're having a conversation at Barnes and Noble, we're having a conversation at Starbucks, okay? Just regular conversation. And there's, guess what? There's no script when it comes to those type of conversations. It's a greeting, a salutation, and a conversation. And that's what I like to give you guys on the Rise Up podcast. And I'm a person that loves to hear your feedback. Please, if you have the link when it comes to sending in voice messages, especially during this episode, I would love to hear your feedback. When it comes to certain things, of course, I'll go through the whole, surfing through to see which ones is more relevant to the episodes that I'll be presenting. At the same time, I want to make sure there's no death threats you know, stuff like that that's being sent to me. But as many as possible, I would like to feature on the podcast with every episode, season by season, episode by episode. Also, guys, if you have not tuned in to episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 of season 1, please do so. Our last two episodes have been getting a lot of plays dealing with City Girls or Not and Sneakerheads. So I appreciate the support when it comes to really pushing that, those two episodes. You guys are amazing. I love those who listen to this podcast. You guys have been rocking with me for a long time. And I do want to apologize for not giving as much content. But like I said, I had to really pull away so I can get a clear thought on what I wanted this next season to be about. So here I am. You guys, we're on this journey once again, and we are going to go strong. Once again, like I said, make sure you have your notebook. Make sure that you have, you know, pen. At this case, if you have a Bible, you might want to pull that out, especially for those who are, you know, of Christian faith or just a believer, period, of the Christ. You definitely want to do that. If you're not, still, you may want to. They got Bible apps and everything like that. This is not, I don't want this to be so exclusive to the point where it's not relatable. Because even everything that I teach is from a principled place, because I understand that everybody is not where I am in life. Everyone is not, you know, unified in certain beliefs, truths, and understandings and faith. And so, therefore, I can only give it to you a certain way to point a perspective in your direction, and you take it and you apply it to where you may be able to apply it. Also, if you have any other type of questions, anything that you want me to know personally, especially during this season, I want to extend my email address, which is theriseupchat@gmail.com. Please feel free to email me with questions. If you have testimonials of how the podcast is helping you, please let me know. Because I would also like to mention that on our episodes, not necessarily having to give the fullness of everything, but just to give a shout out from time to time. And let other people know that there are other people who are being affected positively by this podcast, and maybe some of the things that you share will help them as well. Thank you guys for tuning in to just somewhat of an introduction of season number 2 of The Rise Up. I'm your host, Tony K. Cole. Until we meet again, shalom, you guys be blessed. And remember, stay true to who you are. Clear your atmosphere. Clear your atmosphere tremendously so that you can see the rewards of your faith. Peace out.